God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the fifth day of September 2007, and you are listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. Tonight, a special speaker, Brother Mike Lehman, our missionary to Thailand, will bring the message. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, even in Thailand, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you for listening.
I have a message tonight that I want to preach in English. Sounds strange. Actually, this is a message I prepared and preached in Thai last month, and I don't know how well it's going to translate over, but it happened to go right along with, I believe I heard you say your theme for your missions conference was, and somebody said something about seeking the lost. And I would like us to turn to Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. Boy, I can't get over the movie theater experience. You know, if you're getting bored here over the next 20, 30 minutes while I'm speaking, I'll have Thomas selling popcorn in the back there by our display. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. I'm going to read that, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to bless that and to be with us in a special way as we look at this passage. And this is... Okay, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And if you could follow along in your Bible, read silently as I read aloud. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, that we each had an opportunity to hear the gospel message and hear the story of the Lord Jesus Christ and of forgiveness of sins and of a home in heaven. And Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. As we gather here tonight, Lord, we want to gather in your name. We want to ask, Lord, that we would know your presence in a special way, that you would meet with us here. As we look at your word, we pray, Father, that you would teach us, encourage us, and help us to understand your will in this area of our lives. Thank you so much for this church. Lord, it is your church. It is a church you bought with your precious blood, and we ask tonight that, Lord, you would be with us in a special way. We give you thanks and praise for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, we'll see that the emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ is priority. During the time that he was in this world, and also now, right now, through the church, through Central Baptist Church, which is his body, we'll see that the Lord's emphasis, his priority, is, or was, and is, the lost. It is the people who are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this passage, I want us to be able to pick out or to see that there are three characteristics about the Lord Jesus Christ, which are characteristics that you could take and apply to your own life, you could take and apply to your church. Three things I believe that have got to be in our lives if we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and truly represent him in this world today. And this is sort of simple. The first characteristic we'll see here, and I think it's pretty obvious, is that the Lord Jesus loves sinners. And you'll see that in verse 1. In fact, I'm going to read that again. The first characteristic that we see about the Lord Jesus, and one that's got to be in our lives and in your church, is that the Lord Jesus loves sinners. It says, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. You know, everywhere that Jesus went, great crowds would gather together to hear him speak, to listen to his word. What kind of people do you think were in those crowds? Of course, there were those who were his disciples, those who loved him. But there was also a whole lot of people in those crowds that, in fact, the Bible describes them as publicans. Who are those? Those are people who are dishonest. Those are people who we could say are cheaters. People the Bible describes as sinners. People perhaps who would today we'd say are have addictions or look down on society. Poor people. People with perhaps poor moral values, low standards and things of this nature. But people like this would come to hear the Lord Jesus speak. An interesting thing is, the Lord Jesus Christ was not ashamed of that. Why is that? Because the Lord Jesus loves sinners. Because the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. You know, that ought not to be strange to us, amen? If we really understand what truly happened to us at salvation, and we really have grasped this whole idea of forgiveness of sins, and what we were before we got saved, we should have no trouble understanding that, amen? When sinners come through the door, we should have no trouble welcoming them and making them feel at home and letting them know we're interested in them because we know what we were. You know, we're all sinners, amen? There's not one of us that wouldn't fall into that category. You know, that's the reason that it's a lot easier to do wrong than it is to do right. Amen? It's a lot easier to slip into sin than it is to stay out of it. And, you know, we say when we try to explain to people what sin is, we don't have to teach our kids to sin, do we? I've never had to teach Thomas to sin. I've never had to teach Thomas to lie, for instance. But children, they tend to lie. And why is that? Because it's already there. It's just natural. We're already sinners. And so that's sort of a given. You know, what kind of state is a sinner in who's without Christ? They're in a state without hope. You know, there's like people who are without Christ, it's like being in a ruined state. It's like being, we could say, tissue in the bathroom that's been used and tossed away. It's not like you're gonna pull it out of the trash can, clean it up, and use it again. That's what sin is like. And when we're without Christ, that's the condition we're in. And our lives will reflect that. And so, the good news, of course, is that God commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And, boy, that's the reason that sinners came to hear the Lord Jesus. That's the reason that they would come to your church. And your church needs to have that same characteristic. Your church should have the testimony of being a church that loves sinners. You know, if we were to take that same illustration, what kind of people should be coming to hear the Word of God here at your church? Yes, those who are saved, those who are disciples and such. But also, we could say the same thing. Then drew near unto the Central Baptist Church all the publicans and sinners for to hear the Word of God here, because they knew that this is a place. Your church should have that kind of a testimony where it's a place where the lost come and they find Christ. They find forgiveness of sins. You know, that's what it was like back then, and that's what it should be like right now. Well, you know, sometimes if we don't have sinners come and listen to the gospel, we don't have people coming that are in that condition, it could be that we're either not preaching what we ought or how we ought, or perhaps that spirit just isn't there. You know, if somebody comes through those doors who is lost and without Christ, and their lives would reflect it, amen, do they get a welcome? You know, that's something now, if we're going to seek the lost like Christ does, we've got to make sure that one, we're getting out there and looking for them, and then when they come, we're making a real effort to welcome them and let them know that we're interested in them, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because the first characteristic, the Lord Jesus loves sinners. And the church must also. You know, just like back then, so it is today in many churches, you'll find that just isn't the case, because when the sinners come, people complain. Isn't that what happened here in verse 2? It says, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured. Of course, that means complained. They complained. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Of course, we could have the same thing happen in churches today, couldn't we? You know, when people come in and they don't know the Lord, and maybe people aren't used to seeing them, they're sort of shocked. Why are people like this in our church? But that's why we're here, amen? To welcome those people and to love them and to share the gospel with them. Amen? That's what we have to do when we go to Thailand. You know, I have to watch myself in Thailand. You know, we're driving down the road and Thailand's not a law-abiding country like America is. And the people live much different than they do in America. And we find ourselves constantly having to back up and say, what are we complaining about? We came here to seek and to save, or to seek and to help those who are without Christ. We shouldn't be surprised. And so we have to check our heart and make sure that we have that same heart that the Lord Jesus does. And, you know, when people complain, when they don't understand this whole concept, you know, they just don't understand, or really what we could say is they probably don't have the same priority and emphasis as the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for that reason, the Lord told that the following parable to try and help us stay on track. Amen? So, brings us to our second characteristic here that I mentioned, and that is that Jesus came to save sinners. Let's look at verse 4. Excuse me. In verse 4 it says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find that?" I want us to know that in this parable, we're not talking about 100 Christians and one of them is backslidden and then we're going to go find that lost Christian. That's not really what this is about. This is really talking about how Jesus came for 100 people, we'll say, but one of them is still outside of us. He's still lost and doesn't even know it. He's talking about the one who might perish and who's going to be left behind, who's still outside of Christ. That's the lost sheep here that we're talking about. In this parable, I want you to notice, the person who's responsible for the sheep, when he came to this point where he realized that one of them was still outside of the fold, outside of that place of safety, that he had a point where he changed his priority. Amen? He had a place where at one point he was giving all of his attention, all of his priority to the 99. When he realized that one of them was outside of the fold, one of them was outside of the place of safety, he changed his priority, he emphasized, and he leaves the 99 and dedicates himself to that which is most important. Amen? Which was looking for that one lost. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same. Let me just say it like this. You know, because this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord is pleased that we are church members, that we're saved. We're already safe. We're in the fold. The Lord is pleased. Amen? But the emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ, his priority, and this is what I think what the Lord is trying to tell us here, is the person who he died for, who doesn't even know yet. They're still outside the fold. They're sort of like that lost sheep. And I think what the Lord would have us to understand here is that he wants us to have that same interest that he does in the lost who are outside. In other words, seeking the lost to be our highest priority. Making seeking the lost to be the highest priority of Central Baptist Church. Essentially, that's what's happening here in this parable. How much of a priority is it? When we talk about seeking the lost, we talk about having a change in our direction as far as our emphasis, that which we're going to give our attention to. Having that change in our lives and giving a priority to seeking the lost, how much of a priority is that? You know, according to this parable, it was enough of a priority that shepherd was willing to leave 99 for the one. That's a high priority, amen. If you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking the lost was enough of a priority that the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven and came to this earth, came to this stinky earth, in order to seek you as an individual. This is a great picture of how the Lord came here to seek you as an individual. Left the 99 for how many? For one. And you know, if you ever have any doubts about how God loves you, just think about that. How God was willing to leave. The Lord Jesus, he was willing to take on flesh and leave heaven for one, for you. And of course, you were a priority. How much of a priority is seeking the lost? It's enough of a priority that the missionaries that you send out are willing to leave the comforts of America and go live in a strange land. And I have to emphasize the word strange. This is our first term. I can tell you it's a lot harder than I ever thought it would be. Living in a mission field is really, really hard. And missionaries aren't a whole lot different than anybody else. But what is it that drives a missionary to want to leave everything they have in America? We sold our house, and of course we don't own anything now but suitcases. And what drives a missionary to do that? It's the priority of seeking the lost. How much of a priority is it? It's enough that perhaps church members are willing to sacrifice time or to sacrifice convenience in order to be faithful, to either be in church or to help in ministries that fulfill this purpose. Amen. How much of a priority is it, seeking the lost? Boy, it's enough of a priority that you're going to have a missions conference here next week and you are going to dedicate, you know, a good portion of, 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 of your week to that whole event. And what's it all about? It's all about seeking the lost. How important is it? It's enough of a priority that we're willing to sacrifice things to seek the lost. You know, have you ever... Let me say this. If we're not willing to sacrifice to seek the lost, whether it's working in a ministry in the church, whether it's befriending somebody who's new and who's not yet saved, or whether it's giving your faith promise mission commitment, if we're not willing to sacrifice to seek the lost, we're really not that smart. Now let me explain why I say that. Have you ever lost something that was valuable? You know, let me read here verse 8 and 9 real quick. I don't think I read that yet. Verse 8 and 9, which is a good illustration of what I want to say here. Verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it. So when it was lost, what did she do? She looked for it. Amen? How about the next one? Verse 9. And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found that piece which I had lost. Now, about 2 or 3 years ago, I was in Thailand. And I was at a shopping mall, and I went there to buy a phone. I was really interested in getting a phone, a nice phone. Up to that point, I only had $10, $20 phones. I wanted to go get a nice phone. I was going to spend a whole $100 to get a phone. And in Thailand, they have shopping malls and such. And I went to the shopping mall, and I happened to have a lot of cash on me that day. I don't know if I was paying rent or if I was... Well, for whatever reason, I had about almost $1,000 in Thai money, cash, in my wallet, which was in my computer bag, which was sort of slung around my back. And, you know, when you're in a foreign country, you're already really paranoid about losing things. And that wallet had all the cash. It had my driver's license. It had credit cards and everything. So it's sitting here. And I'm really wrapped up and I'm really focused on what's going on with it, buying a phone. I'm asking him questions about it. I'm looking at this one and this one. I'm trying to understand what he's saying to me in Thai. And we're talking. And I wasn't really paying attention at all to this here. I was really wrapped up to what I was doing. And it came time that I had to pay for the phone. And... I don't know if I had to check how much money I had or pay for it, so I swing my bag around, and to my horror, the bag was already open, and my wallet was missing. And you can imagine how my heart dropped. Now, when you're in a foreign country, I once told my pastor, I said, boy, this is a real burden to me, this trouble here. He says, well, we have that same trouble in America. I said, yes, I know, Pastor, but the trouble you have over there is multiplied 10 times because of where you are. And so I was really distressed. My heart fell, and I was thinking, oh, this is so awful. And but let's just stop the story there for a moment. Let's suppose that instead of going to look for that which was lost, I just went back to being interested in the phone again. I started asking them again, well, you know, well, how much is this one? And, you know, what features does this phone have? And I didn't pay attention to, what would you think about me? You'd think I wasn't very smart. Amen? Honestly, he's a nugget short of a happy meal. But, you know, what would have had to have happened for me was I would have had to, at that point, I would have had to have a change in my focus. Where at one time I was really concentrated on buying a phone, and I was really concentrated on this whole transaction. I would have had to have a change in my priority, a change in my focus where I'm going to go start looking for that which was most important. Amen? Which was my wallet. And, you know, the same thing is going to be true about your life here and about the about Central Baptist Church. You know, when you realize that there are people out there without the Lord Jesus Christ, people outside of your church who either haven't heard yet or don't really understand yet that they can come as a sinner and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and forgive them. When you realize that... Boy, you need to have a change in your priority. Amen? You need to have a change in your focus. Each person here who's a member of Central Baptist Church needs to have a time in their life, or perhaps just a renewed time where we change our focus and change our priority. Sometimes we get wrapped up in our lives. We do. You know, we get wrapped up. You know, if I'm not careful, I get wrapped up in the logistics of being in Thailand. I forget what I'm doing there. That would be a total waste. And the same thing is true for you and I right here in America. We've got to have a change in our priority where we make a priority that matches the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is seeking the lost. You know, if after realizing that people are out there without the Lord Jesus Christ, And we just go back to being interested in our own lives, our own daily troubles and agonies and such. We could say in the same way, how smart is that? That we would be worried about, you know, this issue, this little issue here, while at the same time this guy over here is going to perish in a fiery hell, and it's as if we were not even aware of it. We have to watch it. And so we have to make sure that we're constantly checking and making sure our prayers are lined up. You know, how can you do that? Let me just give you a couple ideas here real quick. One, just understand that there are people outside of Central Baptist Church who are waiting for you. They truly are. There are people out there who don't know what it is they're missing. They don't know what it is that they need, but they know they need something. But you know, each person here who has Jesus Christ in their heart, you know what they need. So who's waiting for who? You know, sometimes I had a friend long ago when I was a young Christian. He said, I don't bother witnessing anybody at work anymore because they just don't want to hear it. Of course they don't want to hear it. They don't know what it is that they're missing. They're not going to want to hear it. The truth is, who's got to take the first step? It's got to have to be us. We have to be the ones who made a priority to seek them. Amen? We can't expect them to have the priority to come to your church. It's us who's got to go and look for them. We've got to make it a priority. And they're waiting for you to do that. There are people out there who are waiting, I can assure you. There are people in Ponca City who are waiting for you. You know, the Lord said to the woman at the well, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest give him, I'm sorry, he would give thee to drink of the living water. And the same thing is true today. There are people who, if they knew the gift of God, they would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that it's got to be a priority for us in that way. Second thing is, in your thinking, in your ministries, you know, everything you do in your church, whether it's children ministries or whatever it is you're doing, even from the ushers on down to everyone has to make it an emphasis in everything that you do at your church of seeking the lost. And it's got to be a priority. And when they come, here's the last one I wanted to say about that. When they come, boy, if sinners come, and they're in the life of a sinner, boy, we've got to make a real emphasis to let them know that we're glad they're here and we're interested in them. Amen? That's got to be a thing that we do. We've got to let them know we're interested in them just like the Lord Jesus is interested in them. Well, our first characteristic about the Lord Jesus we saw in this passage was that the Lord Jesus loves sinners. Second is that the Lord Jesus came to save sinners. And then, of course, that's a priority for us as well in the church. And then the last characteristic we see here is that the Lord Jesus Christ rejoices when sinners repent. Look at verse 5 here, if you would. Verse 5 says, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You know, if we go back to that story about my wallet, I'll tell you what happened. Boy, I was so upset. The truth is, I forgot all about that phone. I wasn't interested in that phone anymore. In fact, the only thing I had to say to the employee at that point was, did you see my wallet? Did you see anybody take my wallet? Of course, at that point, I was looking at everybody in the store to see if they looked like a thief. I was going to check everybody out. And I went everywhere looking for that in that store, and I went and I backtracked, and I went through the mall looking at people thinking, okay, does he look like a thief? Does he look like a thief? Of course, that wasn't going to help me much. But, boy, I lost all hope. And, you know, when husbands, you know what it's like when you do something really dumb. What's the first thing you fear more than the thing you lost is what? Having to tell your wife. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to go call my wife and tell her I just lost my wallet, my credit card, driver's license, everything. And I started to go downstairs my car was parked in the basement. I went down there because I was praying. And I got down in the car, shut the door, and feeling really down. I thought, let me check one more spot. And I popped open the glove compartment, and sure enough, my wallet pops out, loaded with all of the cash that was supposed to be there. And yeah, how do you think I felt at that moment? Boy, I felt like a guy that just hit the lottery. I felt like somebody that didn't even own that money before, and now I did. I was happy. It's the same thing, amen? Isn't that what it says there in verse 5? It says, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You know, boy, the same thing is true about what we're talking about here as far as sinners who repent and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing that's going to make your church more excited and make you guys more happy than sinners who repent. Amen? You know, let me just ask you, what do you think does cause all of heaven to rejoice? You know, we're very much into our ministries and the things that we do. We all have responsibilities and such. And, you know, for instance, you know, when we have a special number that's sang in the church, that touches our heart and we really appreciate it. And is God pleased with it? God is pleased with that. But does all of heaven rejoice over the special number? I don't think so. Although it is a blessing and it's used. How about when we have a special activity that draws a big crowd and everybody liked it? And, you know, God's pleased with that. But is all of heaven really rejoicing over it? And I don't think so. Look at verse 7. What does cause all of heaven to rejoice? I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over what? One sinner. How many sinners? One sinner. You see how important each individual is? Over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. In fact, the Lord emphasized that by saying it a second time, didn't he? In verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over what? Over the new job we got. No, that God's pleased and we're happy. Over getting a new car. Over, you know, those are things that we all tend to get happy about. But really, what causes all heaven to rejoice? There's joy in the presence of the angels of over one sinner that repenteth. And your church is the same. You know, let me just say, you know, when somebody gets saved, boy, everybody should know it. Amen? Look at verse 6. What did they say in verse 6? I'm going to turn back here. Verse 6, it says, and when he cometh home, after he found it, amen? After he found it, he comes home and he calleth together his friends and neighbors and church members. Doesn't say that, I added that. Friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. Of course, you know, I said already, if there's anything that's going to get your church excited, and I'm sure you see it, already. But if there's anything that's going to get our churches excited, it's going to be the fact that people are being saved. That there's a new convert. Boy, there's nothing like a new convert who's excited, amen? And who's happy to be a Christian, who's happy to have their sins forgiven and happy to be here. Boy, that's what gives the church excitement and joy. Man, if you've got that, you don't need the rock band, amen? If you've got that, you don't need gimmicks. And there's churches with a lot of gimmicks these days. They've got all sorts of gimmicks. But boy, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. And if this is what it's all about, it's got to be a priority for us. Just like it is for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's something that's sort of convicting. I'm pretty much finished here. But, you know, let me just... I have another illustration I could give you. When I... several years ago... In fact, it was Thomas. Thomas was only... Oh, I imagine he was only about 8 years old back then. We're from the Baltimore, Washington area. And if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., there's just so many sites you can see. They've got all sorts of monuments and different things you can go to. And we were there on the mall. The mall is that central area in Washington, D.C., by the Lincoln Memorial and different things. And we were looking at some sites, and we were really focused on this one particular thing. My wife and I were there, and I think we only had one other child at the time. We're checking this thing out, and we're reading stuff. And of course, you know, in America, this is the last thing you ever want to happen. But I looked at my wife and said, where's Thomas? She said, I thought he was with you. Of course, that's another heart-wrenching, you know, your heart sort of drops and fear comes over you, especially in America these days. You want to know your kids are there. But we didn't know where he was. And of course, at that moment, let's just suppose again that I said, I'm really interested in this thing I'm reading right now, honey. Don't bother me right now. What would you think of me? I'd be a bad dad. You'd be a bad dad. Why? Because I didn't do that which was most important. But how about you and I? You know, there's people all around us. That's why we're here, amen? That's why we're on this planet. I mean, we could be in heaven. Is there a reason we wouldn't be in heaven right now? I mean, really, our sins are forgiven. There's no reason we cannot enter heaven at this very moment and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're here. Why? We're here because there's people out there who need the Lord Jesus, and we are the ones who are supposed to be taking them that message. And boy, if we don't make it a priority, what would you say about us? Now, you said when I didn't go looking for my son and make him a priority, I was a bad dad. And you know, the same thing could be true about us. There's going to be a time when, we're going to be very, very upset that we didn't do what we should have done. And of course, the end of that story was that we prayed and prayed and we looked all over again. Of course, you're looking at everybody and you're looking for, and eventually we found him checking out the Lincoln Memorial, I believe it was, on his own. But actually, he was spotted by a security guard, and the Lord blessed and allowed him to be found. How do you think we felt after he was found? Boy, it was like having another child. We were happy. He's alive. He's well. He's right here. He's with a security officer. And, I want to encourage you as a church member, to make seeking the lost, no matter they are, you know, no matter they are people who will shock you when they hang out, no matter who they are, what condition they're in, remember they're sinners. To make seeking the lost a priority for you and your church in every ministry, everything you do. Every time you come to church, look around to see if there's somebody who's new that you can go over and meet and let them know you're interested in them. And let them know that you love them just like the Lord Jesus does. You don't have to go up to them and say, I love you, but you do have to make an effort to show them that you're interested. Amen? And without that, church just gets boring. It does. You ever been in a boring church? Those are the churches that are just not interested in anything that's high priority like that. And so make it a priority. You know, when people get saved, how do we react? Boy, make it something exciting. Make sure everybody knows about it. You know, you're with somebody, you find out they're a new Christian, call somebody over and say, hey, this person just got saved. Let them know. You know, I'll say this. A person who just gets saved, if you don't make a big deal of it, they're going to be confused. They're going to be thinking, hey, I thought this was really important. Nobody seems to be interested that I just got saved. That happened to me when I first got saved. I had a friend who was a Christian. I knew him before I got saved, hung out together. And after I got saved, I thought to myself, I'm going to see him in a minute. He's going to be really happy. And he just walked right by me, said, hi, mate, but didn't say a thing to me. And I walked away saying, I think this is supposed to be really important. This is confusing. But folks, we got to make it a priority and let it be known it's a priority. Amen. And then we'll truly be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Those characteristics that we saw in that passage, let's take them and make them part of our own lives, shall we? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for allowing us not only to know the Lord Jesus, but to have the opportunity to be in this world and to serve you, whether it be in the mission field of Thailand or whether it be here in Ponca City. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to have the privilege of going out to seek and to save the lost. We pray, Father, that you just bless, that you help us, each one, Lord, forgive us where we tend to get wrapped up in our lives and we fail to make a priority of that which is most important. But we pray that you help us to make it a priority in our lives, that which is most important, seeking the lost. Lord, as the missions conference comes up, I pray each person would sacrifice time to be here for the conference and think about what they can give to support missionaries, all because it's a priority and because it's a matter of seeking the lost. Pray, Father, that you bless these truths to our lives. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our missionary to Thailand, Brother Mike Lehman. The first priority of the church is the lost. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponkin Theater Building. Give us the chance to get to know you. Until then, God bless you. Thank you for listening.